The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. And he had Gideon's band. And he had too many people. God says, listen. He said, you got too many people here. You need to call this down. And so the Lord told him how to do it. And so the group was small. You know why God did that? So that the miracle would nobody be able to say, oh, Gideon did this. Or the people did it. Only God could do this miracle. This is a miracle that only God could do, so only God could receive the glory for it. But the Spirit of God came upon Gideon. Oh, I like that. In the Old Testament, the Bible would say at different times, the Spirit of God came upon Samuel. The Spirit of God, different prophets in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come upon them and they would do some great thing. In fact, by the way, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come upon men to do something great, like Samson. It was said of Samson, more than any other man, the Spirit of God came upon him. And you know, the hair thing and all that. Yeah. Yeah. And he went out with a blast, didn't he? Yeah. He did something big in the end. But the Spirit of God would come upon them and the Spirit of God would leave. You know what I love? The Spirit of God never leaves you and me. Never. The Bible says we're sealed by the Spirit. When we're born again, we're sealed by the Spirit. The Bible says we can yield to the Spirit. We can speak in the Spirit. We can walk in the Spirit. And at any given time, we can yield ourselves to the Spirit of God. And we can have that same spiritual power that Samuel had, that Samson had, that Gideon had. So how do we fight Satan? I'm telling you, every time God's going to move, something happens. Are you with me? Josh Tucker, are you awake? He's checking on you. And so, how do we fight Satan? We don't go out and hit him in the mouth like another boy on the playground. We don't whip out the knife when the pit bull's coming to rip our throat out. We don't do that. But I want to do that. But no, you can't do that. Because if you do that, that's the flesh. If you do that, then it's just you acting in the flesh instead of the Spirit. I could take my enemies and put the crosshairs on them, but I don't want to spend the rest of my life in jail for a moron, right? I mean, really? Yeah. Luke, can't you handle that kid? Aren't you the head of your home? See what you'd have missed if you hadn't come tonight. So we if we wrestle not against flesh and blood, we can't do it with our fists. We can't do it with our strong arms. We can't do it with our laser guns. We have to do it God's way. So God called down. He called down Gideon's band. And he picked the runt of the litter, the weakest person. Are you weak tonight? You got any weakness? Jesus said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. See, God can use you if you're weak. But if you got everything together, if you are a self-made man and proud of your Creator, God can never use you. If you're weak, then you're strong in the power of His might. And God does not want the power of the flesh to do spiritual things. And Christians all the time are trying to do things in the flesh and call it spiritual. We're busy working for God, but not walking with God. we shouldn't sing without praying and being filled with the Spirit of God, then sing. We shouldn't preach or teach. I don't care if it's in the nursery. You should be a Spirit-filled nursery worker. A soul winner. Hey, Jesus told him, before you go soul winning, go tarry ye in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. And on the day of Pentecost, my, like a rushing mighty wind came upon them, and they were filled with the Spirit, and there were cloven tongues upon their head. And Peter got up to preach, who had denied Christ. He gets up to preach, and 3,000 souls are saved in one day. Boy, I've never done that. But I'll tell you something, it kind of makes me mad, but Joey, you know, he went over for the 25th anniversary of Dr. Ed Lorena's church, and he had 5,000 unsaved people there in the auditorium. All the church people were outside looking in. And Joey gave him the gospel. The mayor of the 2 million people city was there. The mayor. Generals in the army were there. Senators and wealthy people were all there. And he gave him the gospel. And he said, if you want to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, stand up. They all stood up. He thought, Dad, I said, they must not have understood what I was saying. He asked them to sit down again. He gave them the simple plan of salvation again, and it said, now, if you want to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and have your name written down in heaven, stand up. They all stood up. They all trusted Christ as their Savior, and every single one of them were dealt with by a soul winner standing outside the building waiting for them. I'm kind of mad. I trained Joe. And he had 5,000 saved in one day. Man, that's God. That's just God. Well, I'll tell you something else that happened. Since I'm done the bunny trail anyway, he had 907 police cadets. And so the pastor brought him in to speak to the police cadets, 907. Well, get this. A Catholic priest gets up and does the mass thing. I said, Joe, what did you do? He said, I waited till he was done. Joey gets up and gives them the gospel. All 907 received Christ as their Savior right there. And then they were dealt with, all the people from the church there. Man, that's something. Wow. Tom, you better get with the program. I'm just teasing. By the way, the field's much harder here. See, they're having a revival in the Philippines. There's millions and millions and millions of people. And they're having a revival in the Philippines, and those people get saved, they give up everything and follow Jesus. They're having great revival. But we're so gospel-hardened here in the United States of America. It's on radio, it's on TV, it's on the printed page. We hear all this stuff going on, you know. We even have Christian, quote, Christian radio stations, quote, Christian TV stations. We have all this going on. And this is a gospel-hardened country. That's free. Just in case you didn't know. But they prayed. And so, look at this. Let's go to verse 15 of chapter 7, and I'm just about done here. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, arise, for your Lord hath delivered into you the hand, the host of Midian. And he divided chapter 7, just in case. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand, and empty pitchers, and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise, and behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that I do, so shall ye do. That's good. When I blow with the trumpet, and I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpet also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. That's a good thing to say. The sword of the Lord. You know what the sword of the Lord is? You got it in your lap. This is a double-edged sword. I love it. I love to walk to a doctor's office, sit down with the Bible. People are getting away. It's like you had a shotgun on your lap, right? They're getting away. We're walking down the hall of the motel, and the lady's looking at it like it's a sword of the Spirit. It's a double-edged sword. I'm telling you, this is powerful. This book is powerful. That's why you got to read it and hate it. That's why you got to read it and do it. That's why you got to read it every single day of your life. Read this book. It's wonderful. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So, verse 19. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came out unto the outside of the camp in the beginning and of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and that were in their hands. Verse 20. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. Fled. What a miracle. Oh, wow. These people, they take off. In fact, every sword was against his fellow. They started fighting each other. They were so confused. And God received the glory and the honor. How do you fight Satan? You fight Satan through prayer and prayer and more prayer. I want to ask you tonight to re-enlist in the army of God as a prayer warrior. A prayer warrior. You can do more through prayer than you can through any other means, because prayer obtains the help of God. And prayer gives the glory and honor to God. Be a prayer warrior. And do battle with Satan. Remember I said last night, be sure to confess all known sin. Pray for the filling of the Spirit of God. Die to self. Pray for the filling of the Spirit of God. Pray to God your Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our advocate. He's our intercessor. And then turn to Satan. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And I say, Satan, I command you to flee me in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, that's Satan. And you quote scripture like Jesus did. And then you plead the blood of Jesus. I believe there's power in the blood. We don't make much of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when we sang that song about Calvary, about the cross, my friend, the old rugged cross, it was the blood that paid for your sin and my sin. And the blood is on the mercy seat of God in heaven. And plead the blood of Jesus and do battle with Satan. Don't run from the serpent. Run to the serpent and cut off his head. One last verse. Romans. One last verse. And I've done my job tonight. One last verse. Romans chapter 16, the last chapter of Romans. Romans chapter 16 and verse 20. And the God of peace, verse 20, Romans 16. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The God of peace. He promises you he will bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Man, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. I want to stomp him. I want to stomp his head. I want to stomp the head of the serpent. God says he's going to bruise his head under my feet shortly. I want to stomp him. For cutting short my father's life. I want to stomp him for the drugs that my little brother got involved with and died an early death. I want to stomp him for that. I want to stomp him for the heartache that I've seen in my family and my friends. I want to stomp him for the little girl. The little girl, 13 years old this morning, from Montecito Baptist Church, and goes to the Christian school there in Hammond, and Indiana. 13 years of age, and they took her to the doctor, to the hospital. And that little precious 13-year-old girl, a family that Susan and I knew from Montecito Baptist Church, that precious little 13-year-old girl died and broke the heart of that mom and dad and her brothers and sisters today. I want to stomp them. I want to stomp them for all the little kids that are wrestling with cancer and terrible disease. These precious little kids where there's no guile, and I want to stomp them for that. I want to stomp him for all the heartache in the world. I want to stomp him for what he did to America in the Civil War when 500,000 were killed in World War II. I want to stomp him for the heartache. I know there's another side to this, and that is God takes evil and turns it around for good. I know that. I'm so thankful he does. I want to stomp the head of Satan for the evil that he has brought in my life and in my family through these years. But I do thank God that he's used everything that Satan has brought against me and used it for the propagation of his will in my life and his blessing in my life. It's a terrible thing. Please forgive me. But I want to stomp the head of Satan for little Evangeline. For little Evangeline. And I know the grace of God. I know God is so good. He takes evil caused by Satan. And he releases the precious aroma of God's grace and God's mercy and God's blessing. I understand that. I know that. And I'll tell you something else. When she's healed, when we're all healed and we all go to heaven, guess what? Who's going to be first? Who's going to be first? Huh? The evangelist? No. Huh? The little Evangelines that have suffered. The little Evangelines that have suffered are going to be first. The little grandmas that have suffered in loneliness and have prayed and been steadfast and prayed like my mother. She's going to be first. Those women that have been abused and misused and cursed and physically abused. Oh, my soul, they're going to be first. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. When Satan's head is finally crushed, the serpent is crushed. We have God's word on it. The God of peace shall bruise the head of Satan among you, under your feet. Wow. Man, I can't wait. I've cried 1,000, 10,000 tears in my life. Boy, I've held the funerals of little girls and little boys and little babies. And man, it just breaks my heart. How do you think it makes Jesus feel? And he's going to bruise the head of Satan under our feet shortly. Would you become a prayer warrior tonight? Would you say, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to become a prayer warrior. I'm going to do battle with Satan. I'm going to pray and humble myself and be filled with the Spirit, and I'm going to resist the devil, and I'm going to start praying for other people. I'm going to pray for healings. God still heals people. I'm going to pray for blessings. God can still give people money and give people jobs and all those things. The Bible says, my prayer for you is that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Our spirituality has to be number one. Then all these other things will be added unto us. But would you do that tonight? Would you say, I'm going to be a prayer warrior? Would you do that tonight? Would you say, I'm going to do battle with Satan? I'm not going to run from Satan. Not in your name, not in the Gary Knuff's name, but in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to do it. I'm not putting up with this anymore. I'm going to do battle with Satan. I'm going to be a prayer warrior, and I'm going to make a difference in my life. Prayer obtains the help of God. Heavenly Father, Lord, I know I've given what you gave me. I know, Lord, I've obeyed in delivering what you put in my heart and in my mind tonight. And I pray, God, by your grace and by your mercy and by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would help people tonight. I pray if they're not saved, they would come and be saved tonight. I pray if they're not a prayer warrior, they'd come and commit themselves to be a prayer warrior. I pray tonight, if there's sin in their life, that they would come and confess and repent of the sin and be filled with the Spirit of God and have joy and love and peace and kindness and meekness. I pray, God, the fruit of the Spirit would be in your people tonight. I pray it in Jesus' name. Let's stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed. Standing together and heads bowed and eyes closed. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to make a holy consecration tonight. I want you to slip out of that place where you're standing and come to this altar and kneel down. And whatever he has spoken to you about, I want you to give it to God. I want you to commit yourself to be a prayer warrior if he's spoken to you about that. I want you to commit yourself to do battle with Satan through prayer if he's spoken to you about that. I want you to come and confess and repent of your sin if he's spoken to you about that. I want you to yield to the will of God tonight if he's spoken to you about it. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Come on, just slip out of that place where you're standing. Come and join those that are here. Make a holy consecration to the Lord. A holy consecration. For some reason, God had me to be here this week. For some reason, God had me preach this message tonight. Was it for you? Are you willing to obey the voice of the Lord? Are you willing to commit yourself to what he's spoken to you about? I'd be afraid tonight preach this and whip up on the devil, except I have my Savior, my Lord, who's already defeated him on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. And in him do I trust, in him alone. I just believe that there's something important for somebody tonight. I always told the Lord, whatever you give me, that's what I'll preach, even if I don't understand why. Let him have his way. Pastor Tom, would you come?
All right. Thanks for that wonderful message, Gary, a convicting message on prayer again. As I've said before, I think prayer is the Achilles heel of so many Christians, including myself. We just don't. Prayer is hard work. You got to have faith to believe that when you actually bend a knee and pray, that God's listening to you. He's got the ability to do something. It takes faith to believe that. I think sometimes that's one reason why we don't pray too much. We don't have enough faith. So I appreciate that challenge, and I take it seriously. I think you do. And I believe that if we take that challenge as a church, just the people in this room right here, if we take that challenge seriously, God would do some miraculous things in our church. I know he is.